Memorial Day. It's not Veterans Day, and I love Veterans Day and respect the veterans. When we were in Puerto Vallarta 2 weeks ago, we saw a man wearing a Navy veteran's cap, and all of us went over and thanked him for serving our country. He was 93 years old and served on a ship in the Pacific Ocean War, and it was so wonderful just talking with him, and very articulate. And so Veterans Day is a wonderful day. It is not a celebration like the 4th of July. That's also a wonderful day, celebrating our nation's freedom. The Memorial Day is a different day. We think, stop and pause and think of those who died for this country and serving this country on battlefields or in trainings. General John Logan, in 1868, Commander-in-Chief of the Army of the Republic, designated May 30th as a day of honor for the dead. And it caught on, of course, became where we have it today. So it's a day that we want to remember those who died for something beyond themselves. Not so selfish in regard to themselves, but died because they believed in something else. Ronald Reagan said earlier on a Memorial Day, earlier today, with the music that we've heard and that of our national anthem, "I cannot claim to know the words of all the national anthems in the world, but I don't know of any other that ends with a question and a challenge as does ours. Does that flag wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave? That is what we all must ask," Ronald Reagan said. And so, in respect of those who died, there's something very important that we're enjoying right now. And I like to talk about those that are serving right now while we're enjoying this freedom. But it's not even about them. It's about those who've died for our freedom, that you and I could worship as we see fit, live our lives as we see fit. So it's a very important day in that respect. And I hope that tomorrow, if you go to a funeral or a graveside or the cemetery, that you will honor it, because it's a very important day in honor of this nation's history. Yes.
Veterans, and we know that there more and more of them are passing away. At my brother-in-law's funeral, there were several of his friends who were veterans attending there. One of them was a gentleman who was 102, and he had just renewed his driver's license.
That's a tough day. That's a tough day. I mean, he started off with a Model T. So, but it is a special day. Just remember those who've died in our nation, for our nation. I love, regardless of what you may hear, I have high respect and love of the Dallas VA. Jim Young died earlier this year at the VA. And at the VA, they put a flag over his casket. And as they rolled it out, they had a whole group of veterans, and they all just stood there and slowly saluted. I just caught them and by. And people, that's what it's about. But it's mostly about those who died in this service, serving this country, providing us our freedom, that their life was not so important that it was to be held back at the cost of freedom. I think it was MacArthur talked about, or Teddy Roosevelt, that war is not the ugliest thing. The ugliest thing is when people decide peace at any cost. They'd rather not fight. They'd rather not have war. They'd rather just have slavery. and it's not that cost. It's not worth it. And these men and women who died for our country knew that and believed that. So in respect of the multitude of personnel who died for our freedom, we're going to stand and sing page 512, the Star Spangled Banner. And I'm sorry, we're just going to sing the first verse. That's the one that ends with the question. So we're going to sing just the first verse in respect of these men. So let's stand. And before we sing, I'm going to give you an opportunity in your own way, just talk to God about your appreciation of those who died for our nation's freedom. Let's stand. Have a moment of silence. Silence, let you pray. Heavenly Father, we know that in the church age, it's not about any nation. It's about the body of Christ, whatever nation they find themselves. But you've used the freedom of this country to spread the gospel all over the world. The finances of this country have financed. People have served and gone to areas, to people that didn't even have a written language. Taught them an alphabet. Taught them to read their own language. And gave them the Bible. That they might understand the freedom we have in Christ. Father, we love the freedom of this country. We love the history, but we live in a time when all of that is changing. The morals of this country are gone. The biblical foundation of this country is gone, and we're seeing the benefits of it. But Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for those men and women throughout the history of our nation died that we might have this freedom that we enjoy today. And Father, we pray you will keep America free to fulfill your purpose, your design. Give us, Heavenly Father, the spiritual warfare to be the soldiers we should be, not of America, but of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's see. Let's start. We have some announcements that Larry Wise wants to give us. So, Larry?
Hi. Okay. So, we have a couple of exciting things happening right now. This next Sunday is Liberty Diner. For those of you who have made a reservation, thank you very much. For anyone who would like to come attend the diner, the children will serve you, greet you, be your cashiers, your entertainment, and we hope to have a cooler environment on one of the hottest days of the year. So if you can, well, I'll need the reservations by the end of today or tomorrow. We have sent an online link out that you can simply just click on to make your reservation, and if that doesn't suit you, let me know today and I'll take care of that for you. So that is one of our last fundraisers of the summer before we're trying to reach our goal over there. So that will be, you can also make online donations if you can't make the event. And then it was asked, Chris gave me an update today on the number of scholarships that we have left, and we'll talk a little bit more about this next Sunday as well. But there are 6 children who are coming to camp this year. You know, we have 134 campers, and of those, 6 of them are scholarships. So those are students who couldn't afford to come, or their parents just said, I'd like to come, but don't have the money. Anyway, we, in the past, have let you guys know about those scholarship opportunities, if that's something that you would like to do to help sponsor some of those kids. The cost for each camper is around about $300 a piece. And so we have one of them that has been taken care of the 6, there are 5 left. So he just wanted me to throw that out to you guys. And again, we'll kind of touch on that a little bit more, maybe right after the diner, where you see how we've done on the diner as well, if that helps.
Okay.
So,
now,
what about change of time?
Yeah. So the diner right now is scheduled for 7 o'clock, but due to the heat and stuff, we've decided we want to push it back to 7:30. We think it'll be a little bit more comfortable at that point. We're prayerful that that's the case. And so Lisa's son won't be on the driveway, so we will serve at 7:30. So, but you can get an email correspondence. If you sign up through the online process, you'll get an email telling you the course team.
If they want to be a supporter of one of those, need the scholarship,
they can do one of 2 things. One, they could go to, well, they can write checks to SBBC YM Youth Ministry. Or they can go to the Liberty Youth Camp .com website and click on donate now. And there's a donation, there's fundraisers, and then there's a donation button on almost every page of the website.
Okay.
Young Dalton.
Dalton I spoke to this week, and he's feeling a little bit better. The CT scan showed a great improvement, not complete improvement, but a great improvement. He has about now 1 more week on his antibiotics. He is hoping to come to camp.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And we're getting
prayer. That's outstanding.
The ability for his stamina is still in question, but I think he'll be there. So we're trying to get some other musicians we've got some other people out there that might join him. But for him to just even be there is huge. So.
Very good.
Okay. Any questions about any of that? Well, number one, the change in time for the dinner next Sunday night from 7 to 7:30. It's going to start at 7:30. And us old people can still get to bed in decent time. So that would be good. Now, yes.
I just wanted to remind everyone we can still use sign-ups for cleanup. We're up through June, July, but from there on, we don't have anybody signed up for cleanup. And don't forget to take a look at the supply board need. We do have... Don't forget to take a look at the supply board need. There are needs for certain supplies, and you'll just remember from time to time to look at that.
People, we don't have that many demands or intrusions in this building, so it's not asking that much to have some people sign up for a month to clean, but don't tell my wife that, or I'll have to do it. And but please bear that in mind. And then secondly, the scholarships and the dinner, and then Dalton, we need to continue being in prayer. What would be the main thing we need to be in prayer for Dalton?
His body continues to get stronger, his stamina increases, and that his immune system isn't compromised, that he gets something secondary now.
Okay.
In prayer. All right, now, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes.
Okay, this prayer is actually for my work boss who is moving on to another position in the same company. His name is Chad. I had a conversation with him about 2 weeks ago that somebody mentioned that I said, well, let's pray about that. And then he said that he grew up in Catholic school all the way through college. And he finds a challenge that sometimes we can actually, we can only live it, but we can't actually tell people about it at the workplace. And I can see in his eyes that he has some conflict about that.
Okay.
Yeah, and I kind of, you know, put my foot in my mouth again. That just, you know, talk to him about the Bible, that and what happened to the previous workplace that I had, that we ended up getting shut down. We couldn't do Bible study. So he said, if you want to read the Bible, that's fine. When you leave it on the desk, that's fine. Just don't talk about it. So just please pray for me. Yeah, I know I keep getting in trouble everywhere I go about this, but I feel compelled that it's something to be done about it.
I'm very glad, but what a horrible society. And used to be that, just hang up a bulletin board, but not anymore. We'll be in prayer. Thank you. Any other prayer requests this time? Yes.
Have an open thing. I thank the Lord for bringing an Ellen into my life. We celebrated our 59th wedding anniversary.
Wow. That's 50 more years than you and I have been married. Wow. Very good. All right. Congratulations, Jim. And an L. And an L. She put up with you for that many years. All right. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
My daughter Francesca. Someday she'll come back to me. My daughter Francesca.
Yes.
Daughter.
And what is it?
Francesca.
Just pray that she will come back.
Okay.
I hope and look for being prayer. Very good, Gigi. Thank you for sharing that. All right, any other prayer requests?
Are you going to say that Thursday we'll be married 9 years?
Careful. Big Ken.
Sounds good. They had them at the conference last week. By the way, I want to talk to you because I missed Wednesday night with you. It's an excellent conference, Grace Evangelical Society. And it was just an excellent conference. Had multitude of different speakers on many different subjects. And there was one older man that I love and you'd love him. Throughout the week, they kept talking about, they come up every now and then, how do we know we have eternal security and this kind of thing. So he comes up Wednesday, gives a handout, Greek, printed out on there, understanding of the present tense, the aorist tense, all these things, which prove that we have eternal security, this kind of thing. I'm sitting there going, amen, go, yes. And, so that part was very good. And, but all the speakers were good. And it was a wonderful conference between you and me. Just what you listen for, what I listen for, what I expect, but I don't hear, and it shouts. Not one speaker. Not one talked about the Holy Spirit. And I was very disheartened about that. And to me, the most important doctrine for a believer, unbeliever, how am I saved? The most important doctrine for a believer, how am I filled with the Spirit? Because people, we don't do a thing without the Holy Spirit. You don't pray without Him. You don't learn the Word of God without Him. You don't love as Christ loved without Him. You don't get His fruit without Him. You don't have an understanding of the Word of God without Him. And I'm sure if I talked, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit, oh yeah, they'd say that. But when it's, to me it should be part, a major part of your whole momentum. But it was a wonderful conference in that respect. The speakers, the emphasis on free grace and defining free grace and abuse of free grace, and just it was a really good conference in that respect. So just wanted to share that with you. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. People were a small, humble group, but that doesn't minimize the cost. The internet, the building, assembly here, things that we do, and a camp, just so much. So with these things in mind, it's an appreciation to have the opportunity to be a part of all these outreaches of the gospel of Jesus Christ. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, you know that we're an humble size. You know that we have a Herculean task of getting out the gospel and the word of God. You understand these things. Father, we pray you continue to give us more and more opportunities, challenges, disperse the gospel and the teaching of the word of God. Father, we pray you receive the offerings that we're about to give. Let you use these offerings to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Conference was met a friend of mine again, and they put out a publication, and the Living Water, they put out a publication called The Gospel of John with Notes. And Larry, I'm going to be sure you and Chris Day get, because they got them in Spanish and in English. And you read in English to see what they're getting in Spanish if you don't speak it, which I don't, so, but it is excellent. And the notes are excellent, and they deal, it says, introductory notes, the gospel of belief, and goes through, and it's just an excellent commentary on, a very brief commentary on the passages in John, under John 3:16, this is probably the most quoted verse of the Bible. The reason for the popularity is clear. It gives God's way of salvation in a nutshell. God loved us so much that he sent his Son to die on a cross for our sins. As a result, when we believe in his Son, we will never perish in hell, but will live eternally in heaven. And that's just a brief type thing about many of the verses. So the box is open if you want to pick up some for yourself. We've got several boxes. I picked up a box of each one, and then later on I ran into him. I said, can I maybe pick up another? He said, take as many as you want. I don't want to have to take them home. So I picked up more than my share. So we've got enough of the best Spanish and the English for our church and for y'all's use. If you do it, I recommend you pick up both so that if, even if you don't speak Spanish, you can read what it says. And can you know you have eternal life? Can you also enjoy friendship with the Son of God? Just very pinpointed things in this respect. So if you're on your way out, want to pick up one just to have in your car, something to be able to give, there they are. So you can have that. Okay, anyone not have, yes?
We've got more than one, because we've got lots of boxes.
Oh, you want to get rid of them too. You learn from that guy. So pick up as many as you want, and as many as you can, just to have in your car, in your home. Huh?
I'll take a box.
You got them. In my car. I'll give it to you this afternoon. All right. Does anyone not have? Do you want the English or the Spanish, or one of each?
I got a lot of Spanish people I work with.
I'll give you one of each. All right. There you go. We got rid of two boxes. K Keep seeking the things above. Set your mind on things above. Anyone not have a copy? Most of you are pretty much geared to picking them up. I thank Kit again for getting these things done for us. All right. This is the Word of God. Cannot understand the Word of God without the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's spend a moment in prayer. You've made the trouble to get here. Make it count. Be in the power of His Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there's so many things to get our minds occupied on. Politics, success, pleasure, just so many things fighting for our mind. And yet, Heavenly Father, Your Bible, Your Word, makes it very simple what we're to keep our minds set on. I pray Your Spirit will open our hearts, our minds, our understanding to what we're here for. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Keep seeking the things above. Set your mind on things above. Remember, Colossians 1 and 2 deal with the preeminence of Christ. Colossians 3 and 4 deal with the preeminence of Christ in your life. How we serve Him. How we're to serve Him. Why we should serve Him. So, verse 1 of chapter 3, therefore, not if, but since you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. In verse 2, we have perhaps the greatest challenge to every Christian. Not how you live, but how you think. Your thinking. If you know how to play poker, no one will know what you're thinking except you and God and your Savior friend, Jesus Christ. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. Set your mind. It's a present imperative. Set your mind. It's an imperative, a verb. Now, this is every day, the present tense, every day, all day long. The Greek verb comes from the root word for mind in the Greek. Therefore, to think, to have a mindset, to judge, to decide, even to seek after, make decisions to seek after. If we understand the imperatives of verses 1 and 2, we would have a blueprint for the life that pleases God, which, by the way, sets up the conditions for earning rewards at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. The first command, keep seeking the things above. How do I do that? By the second command, set your thinking on things above. Now, one thing that most people are in denial concerning is that they choose what goes on in their mind. A lot of people don't understand that. They think that life causes them to have these thoughts. No, you choose. You have a mind, and you choose what you're going to think at any given second. My prime example, which I'm sure I've overused, you get the phone rings, you answer the phone, officer, your child has just died on the highway. Now, that second, you choose what's going to happen in your soul. You're going to fall apart, cry, blame God, get into this, blame each other, or are you just going to say, okay, Father, this is in your hands. Let that be your mindset. You choose, people. Life doesn't cause you to think. You decide what you're going to think. Let's take a look at what goes on in our minds, in our souls. Let's look up some biblical teaching on thinking. For you old timers, this is a rendition, extension, changing the doctrine of mental attitude. But I just decided to change it a little bit. So, the biblical teaching on thinking, setting your mind. Point one, you are what you think, not what you eat. You are not what you appear to be. You are what you think. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks within himself, so he is. So what would you think? Two, during the course of man's history and the angelic conflict, there are only two antithetical mental attitudes. They are described in the Old Testament in Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his ways, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God makes it clear that we have control over our thought process. We choose what we're going to think. Isaiah 55:8. Here are the two antithetical attitudes. My thoughts, given to us in the Word of God, are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. So, there are two ways you can think. God's way, your way. Most of us, most of the time, prefer our way. We've got to train our minds to think God's way. The thoughts of man are a multitude of philosophies, while the thoughts of God are all righteous. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, this is a powerful verse. The heavens far above the earth where he is. How are we supposed to set our mind? On there, on the heaven, where Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So, we've got to set our mind in that way. Paul expresses it this way. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What are the things of the Spirit? The Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we have the mind of Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. And that's why Paul says, those who think according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Spend your time thinking in the flesh, then the flesh wins. Spend your time thinking in the Holy Spirit, and the new spiritual creature that you are in Christ wins. There is a great battle going on inside of our inner struggle, inside of us. Point three, this conflict of mental attitudes causes great conflict when inside the believer struggles. This is not because you've had some bad tacos or eaten some gluten or whatever it might be. This is important. Pay attention. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh, that's whom what we are, in the flesh, sets the desire, that's your mindset, against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these, God's thoughts, or Bible doctrine versus man's thoughts, are in opposition to one another. And there, where is the opposition? In your soul. See? In the believer. So that you may not do the things that you please. This is extended in Romans 7, where Paul talks about, I don't do the things I want to do. I do the things I don't want to do, this kind of thing. So we've got to control the mind. This is where it happens. Since the Holy Spirit is the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16, compared with Isaiah 40:13, you have to compare 1 Corinthians 2:16 to understand it. You have to go to Isaiah 40:13. The mind of Christ is not the Word of God. The mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit. And you have it inside you. It stands to reason that we must set our mind set on the Holy Spirit and the things He directs us toward. Jesus Christ is in the third heaven. But we have the Holy Spirit inside of us here on earth. Therefore, we are to be like Christ, think like Christ, love like Christ. We must allow the Holy Spirit to control our thinking. Years ago, when I started teaching spirituality by faith, not by confession, by works of confession, a friend of mine said, you know what? I knew that in college, but I didn't believe it. I stayed with confession because that's what I was taught. But Bill Bright, Campus Crusade for Christ, has a pamphlet. And he talks about that you're filled with the Spirit by faith. But he also has a pamphlet that talks about who's on the throne in your soul. And he has a picture of you, a picture of the Holy Spirit. Who's on control on the throne in your soul? We must allow the Holy Spirit to control our thinking. It amazes how many Christians turn to alcohol, drugs, psychiatry, and so on, when there's a battle going on inside them. It is really very simple. Just forget the thinking of the flesh on the things of the earth. Devote your thinking to the things above. Or forget the things above and live on drugs and alcohol and pay out a lot of money to some shrink. See, you have the choice. What you're going to do with your thought process. It's a freedom that God has given every creature. Point four. A powerful passage that we studied in our detail in SAD, stress, anxiety, depression, or living who you are in Christ, was 2 Corinthians 10:3. Now, I didn't mean to really get involved in that, but I got to thinking, this involves setting your mind on things above. So let's look at it. For though we walk in the flesh, we live in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Literally, in flesh, we walk or live. Not according to the flesh, we war in our daily lives. We're in a spiritual warfare. Want to know why you experience daily struggles? You're in a war. Individual. Invisible, but real. Now, remember how you came to believe in Jesus Christ. You were helpless, hopeless, unable to perform. Not as some soldier ready for combat. Well, you're in a war. And you fight in it. Just the same way you entered it, simply by trusting Him. The battle is the Lord's. What is so vital here is that you realize that we're in a war daily. It's not your husband, it's not your wife, it's not your parents, it's not your children. It's not, you're in a spiritual conflict. Satan wants to take you down. So what's so vital is that you realize we're in a war, not a conventional war, but a spiritual war, an invisible war, a war that goes on inside. So, do not try to enter this war with flesh weapons or wisdom, flesh wisdom. In flesh we walk, live, not according to flesh we war. Now, if it's not according to flesh, what are we going to war with? That is, this is not the battle in human strength, human wisdom. We have to live in this fleshly body. But it is not in the fleshly body that we struggle daily. Verse 4. For the weapons. If it's not going to be fought with human wisdom, what's going to be fought with? Our weapons of our warfare, daily struggles in our lives, struggle against your marriage, struggle against your single life, struggle against your going to church, struggle against your growing in the Word of God. Alright? Not our weapons, not of our warfare, not of the flesh, not of human strength, human wisdom, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses of the mind. Notice the progress of Paul's thinking. War, weapons, fortresses. Fortresses, just to jump ahead, those are the things that you war against in your soul. Why you can't come to Bible class. Why you don't want to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Why you're having trouble in your marriage. Why these things are going on. Now, for our study, in Colossians 3, 1 and 2, you are in a spiritual warfare. There are fortresses, strongholds in your soul, in your mind, to keep you in Satan's lie. Satan uses these strongholds to bring stress, anxiety, depression in your life. He has lots of strongholds. Question, What weapons are you going to use to destroy these strongholds? Think of the movies you've seen if you haven't been in combat. Boom! Blows up this pillbox. Blow it completely up. The rocket flies across. Boom! Blows up a home. Blows up this. Blows up that. That's what we think. I need some kind of warfare. Blow those strongholds that are in my mind. See? So what are the weapons are you going to use to destroy these strongholds that exist in your soul? What weapons are you going to use? Change circumstances? That's what some people do. I'll get a divorce. I'll get married. Boy, there's a bad one. I'll get out of here. I'll do this. That is bad. To marry just to get out of the one bad deal? That's terrible. You're not very wise even in human thinking. See? So you got to know how to think correctly. Change circumstances. Drugs. Alcohol. Self-discipline of the flesh. I'll just pull myself up, chest of my boots, and I'll just make this work, and I'll conquer the world. That type of thing. Okay. In contrast, the weapons of the flesh, the weapons we fight with, are not worldly or weapons of the flesh, but as God empowers. And then these fortresses of our minds will fall. What are some of the weapons we use in the flesh? Fear, anger, hate, jealousy, arrogance. All these are defense mechanisms of the self. They're the immune system of yourself. Now, verse 4. But divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses of the mind. Mental attitude. The Greek word for destruction is beautiful. Along with the English word, it comes from it. Catharsis. To cast down. To cast or take away. Destruction of a fortress. So, this is tearing down these fortresses in your soul, in your mind, in your thinking. The English Greek word of catharsis, Webster's 10th edition, catharsis, purification. That brings about, this is right out of the dictionary, people. It's not out of the Bible dictionary. Purification that brings about spiritual renewal or release, the elimination of a complex fortress by bringing it to consciousness and affording it expression. Think about this. Think about what's going on inside of you. Purification or elimination. Destruction, tearing down of a complex, a fortress in your soul, a stronghold, some attitude, jealousy, hatred, arrogance, pride, revenge. Next, Webster gets part of the process. He even gets part of the process in his definition. By bringing to consciousness and affording it expression. Now, what does this mean? This means we bring to light Satan's lie. We bring to the truth all the lies you have believed about yourself that crushed your soul, made you feel like a loser, make you feel inadequate, and in light of God's truth, you see things, all these things are a lie. Things that happened in your childhood, your home, your marriage. These are not who you are. You are who you are in Jesus Christ, by His doing. One other thing that Webster does, he gives two results of this catharsis. Brings about spiritual renewal or release from tension. First, a spiritual renewal. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about being renewed. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, weaken your thinking, but through our outer man, though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. That's by the filling of the Spirit, increasing in the knowledge of Christ. Ephesians 4:23, and that you be renewed in the Spirit of your mind. Colossians 3:10, it will be coming to. and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. This is how this battle is taking place inside of us. Now, this is true knowledge, tears down the strongholds. You don't need those other things. You're not who the world says you are. You're who Christ says you are. And causes you to see who you are in Jesus Christ. Not as others try to make you feel about yourself. Then Webster gives another result that fits right into our study. Release from tension. I can take a 21st century dictionary. I think this would be very interesting. See if they talk about these spiritual things in the 21st dictionary. I bet they don't. I bet they don't at all. All right, let's see what he says here. Notice the word release. A beautiful word. You're released from the strongholds of your soul, in your mind, in your thinking, so that now you can enjoy life. Released, set free from strongholds of your mind by the power of God, not by your doing. The only way we're going to tear down these strongholds is by divinely provided power, not by weapons of the flesh, nature, but divinely powerful. God is powerful. Talks about the power that comes from God. A strong contrast between weapons of flesh and weapons of God. Plus a dative, dunatos, dynamite, power. Plus the dative, theos, God. So we have how this is all going to take place. What is divinely supplied power? Well, shield of faith, sword of the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God. And people, there you have how to control your thinking in one line. By faith in the Holy Spirit, who will direct you to the Word of God. Have it right there. There's how you do it. What are these strongholds of the mind that keep us from setting our thinking on things above? Okay, glad you asked. One, a stronghold here is an immaterial structure built in the mind by the soul through persuasive arguments by false teachers, Colossians 2:4, in order to divert the mind from thinking on the things above. Two, these fortresses are strongholds, pillboxes in your mind, in your thought pattern, that actually govern how you think, how you deal with the things that happen in your life. People, think about those strongholds, those pillboxes. You felt very safe in them. And you just got a little hole, and here come the, and you just shoot your machine gun at them when they come up, and the things are about 2 feet thick in concrete. You're totally safe in them. That's what we do with the strongholds in our soul. They hurt us, but we feel safe in them. Well, let's see what's going to happen. Point three, strongholds that must be torn down are the strongholds that protect and defend your flesh nature. Your flesh nature feels comfortable in those. From these fortresses comes oppression in your life that prevents you from setting your mind on things above. You're too occupied with the things below. Strongholds, or strongholds, are those fortresses inside your mind where the power of Satan hides and is protected and seeks to control you. Satan cannot possess a believer, but he can control your thinking. He can influence your thinking and keep your thinking that you are unworthy, inadequate, a loser, wasted life. You deserve God not giving you any real blessing. This is why we must set our minds on things above. Because, dear people, this is who you are in Christ. Thoughts precede whatever happens in your mind. Thoughts precede it, people. Falling apart doesn't just come on you. You choose to fall apart. Depression doesn't come on you supernaturally. You choose to be depressed. You choose what you're going to think. And unbelievable, sometimes it's the scoundrels of life who've learned that. They don't let how they treat people, how they con people, they don't let it bother them. And bother me. Boom. Control their mind. Got to control your mind. Got to listen to what your mind is saying and pay attention to it. We choose to be under stress. We choose anxiety. We choose to be depressed. These are not involuntary, people. What you think is what you are at the moment you said you're thinking it. Set your mind, your thinking, on things above. And that is who you are. See? Now we come to 2 Corinthians 10:5. We are destroying speculations, arguments, and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, or that are opposed to the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That's a powerful verse, but it's kind of confusing. Those of you who what happens when your mind set on things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Let's take a look. You're destroying. See what it says? We are destroying. We're destroying. Present participle. This will not happen overnight. This will not happen quickly in your life. I know you want this down quickly. We live in a microwave generation. Many Christians always seek the quick way. But this takes time. Therefore, the importance of the word hope. Confidence, which we taught our kids last year at camp. By the way, this year, the theme is Jesus Christ. Satan is not going to like that. Please be in prayer daily. We're closing in on it. Please be in prayer. Be in prayer for these kids as they prepare to go. I was walking around the track the other day, and the sun was shining, and I felt good. And of all things, I had my shirt off, and I looked pitiful. I would be a good picture to discourage a young girl from ever getting married. If that's what it's going to look like later, forget it. But I'm walking around the track, and this little girl comes running up to me, and she says, "You're the pastor at Liberty Youth Camp, aren't you?" And I said, "Are you Herman?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, I go to it." So we high-fived each other, and she's been going for 3 years, her and her brother, and we talked, went over, met her parents, told them what the theme's going to be, and he just, let me tell you what he said. He said, "I want to thank you and your church. Y'all have taught my kids so much." And I took the day, I said, "Well, why don't you come visit us sometime?" And it was like the thought had never occurred to him. "Oh, what church is that?" And so I told him the name of the church. He said, "Well, we might just do that." So, but people, it's going to be important for these kids. Be in prayer. Be in prayer about their soul, getting ready to learn about Jesus Christ, their need of Jesus Christ, their need of Him in our daily lives. Be in prayer for the teachers. Be in prayer for the counselors. Be in prayer for the staff. Be in prayer for the weather. And by all means, be in prayer for Brian Wise. Man, he just, man, that guy, we're all having fun, and he's just out sweating, taking water here, water there, being sure there's water for everybody. And where's the Coke? Where's the good stuff? Yeah, I drink water. So just be in prayer, people. It's a wonderful week in the life of this church, even though we're not there. We're there spiritually. Okay, let's go on. Speculation of every lofty thing. Well, this doesn't sound that bad. Well, it is these that keep us from setting our mind on things above. Look at it. Speculations and every lofty thing. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? No, that's what keeps you from setting your mind on things above. Speculations. The Greek word, logismos, is a system of thinking, to reckon, to calculate. In classical Greek, this word referred to arguments, considerations, and reflections preceding and determining conduct. Think about that. This Greek word in classical Greek, arguments, it's what's going on in your mind, considerations, reflections, preceding, and determining conduct. See, this goes on in your mind. You decide how you're going to act. You're going to fall apart, you're going to fall apart in your mind. I used to wonder about, I think, you know, you see a child, baby, arm, screaming and hollering. Yeah, boy, that kid's really lost it. It's just the opposite. They have not lost it. They're in control. They don't know what else to do with the circumstance. They are so frustrated that you just see it now. That's how they handle it. Just explode. So they're handling it. They're not out of control. They're in control. And that's what we do. That's what we do when we fall apart. I don't know how to handle this thing biblically, spiritually, by God, so I'll just fall apart. And that way I can handle it. I'll just become depressed. Sit in my bedroom. See? Eat chocolate cake all day. That's what I'm going to do. That's how I'm going to handle it. See, your thought, how am I going to handle this problem? How am I going to handle this situation? Think about it. You know what meditation is? Meditation is not a bad thing. Now, the way they use it today, it is. Let me tell you what meditation is in the Bible. You go off somewhere, beautiful park, trees, house, whatever, and you're meditating. What you're doing, you're thinking, this is what's going on in my life. How does it line up with the Word of God? What does the Word of God say that I should be doing with this that's going on in my life? That's meditation. Relating things in your life with the Word of God. Relating things in your life with Jesus Christ. That's meditating. That's contemplating. That's what we're dealing with here. So let me just read one more time. In classical Greek, the word refers to, and the italics is in quotes, arguments, considerations, and reflections, preceding and determining conduct. Think about this. These fortresses belong to the realm of your will, intellect, and therefore emotions and actions. Wrapped up in these fortresses is all that you are in the flesh. They belong to the spirit of man in opposition to the spirit of God. There are fortresses inside you. Out from these fortresses emerge considerations, thoughts, that precede what you do, how you react, how you handle a situation in your life. And then they determine what you will do and say. They determine sarcastic little remarks. They determine impolite action. They determine how you're going to connive and work this around for your benefit, how you're going to be sweet, how you're going to get your way here. All this goes on in these fortresses in our mind. Again, this is why stress, anxiety, and depression, sad, seem involuntary. But in truth, they are thoughts that emerge from inside you. From these speculations are considerations, reflections. And here is the great news. Here's the great news. The good news is, the gospel news is, you don't have to tear down these fortresses down. God will do it for you. If you'll let Him tear down the fortresses in your mind. We'll come to that. Next, every lofty thing. Now, first of all, don't speed read past that word, every. One of the problems I have with speed reading in the Bible or spiritual things, we speed read past important words. Don't speed read past every. We're going to see quite a list here, including some things that might surprise you. Every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. People, it's got to be lofty if it's going to counter God in your mind. I want to comment on the knowledge of God. Please don't think about this theologically. so much as you should think about it experientially. Experientially. The elder man I just mentioned at the conference this week that handed out the sheet with the Greek on it and talked about the present tense, the aorist tense. Well, I loved him when he first started. He put up on the overhead a cartoon from Charles Schulz, Peanuts. And in it was, and the reason he put it up there, it was raining. And Lucy said, it's raining for these days and it's going to flood the earth and all that. And Linus says, no, God said he's never going to flood the earth again and this is good for the earth and all this. And she said, well, that makes me feel better. And the last little caption, Linus says, sound theology does that. It makes you feel better. It gives you peace. It gives you, in your soul, a comfort. And that's what we're talking about here. All right? What is your view of God? What is your view of God in your daily life? Not just what you write down on a piece of paper. I'm talking about experientially. What is your view of God? Well, this has happened because I got mad this morning. Well, I had this wreck because I did that. Well, the boss did that. Things aren't going my way. Man, this is what God does experientially. You know better if you're right. God doesn't do that. But experientially, what's your view of God? What you're thinking about God day in and day out in your life? See? There are fortresses inside you. Out of these fortresses emerge considerations. Thoughts that precede what you do, what you say, how we react and handle a situation. And then they determine what you do or what you say. You fall apart, get angry, shout back, whatever it is. Again, people, no one has to tell. After all my life, practically, let's see, it'd be 69 years, a born-again believer. No one has to tell me when I'm out of fellowship. All I have to do is listen. All I have to do is listen what comes out of my mouth. All I have to do is listen what are my thoughts in my soul. And then I know, you're out. Nobody has to tell me. My wife doesn't have to tell me. I know. See? She might want to remind me, but I know. See? All I have to do is listen. Listen to yourself. And you'll know if you're out of fellowship. So, here's the great news. The good news, God will do it for you. Now, every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. All right? What is your view of God? And I'm talking about your view of God in the daily life. When I say your view of God, I'm not referring to what you could write down on your theological view of God. I'm sure everyone in this room would make 100 on it. But what is your view of God daily? I'm talking about your view of God in confrontations and disappointments throughout your life, throughout the day. I'll give an example. Many Christians know, theologically, that Job's three friends are wrong in judging Job. Since bad things were happening to him, he must have been doing bad things. And you know that. They know this. You may know this, but how many times in a day and something that bad happens, and someone you know, the first thing they say to you is because you've sinned. See? That's why. Whoa, 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 wait a minute. See? It's not the case. Lofty thing. The Greek is, oops, oma. This is understanding our view that is elevated to a height that is above the true knowledge of God. This means to place an attitude, an understanding, a philosophy to the highest level of your thought pattern. I don't want to deal in spiritual love. I want my way, so I'm going to be in control. I'm in control. I'm not going to deal in spiritual love. Spiritual love, I may not get my way. Spiritual love, you may get your way. And I don't want that. Marriage, work, church, life. What goes on in our minds? Can you imagine placing something above who you are in Jesus Christ? That's what we do every time we get out of fellowship, out of the power of the Spirit. Can you imagine placing who you are in the flesh above who you are in Jesus Christ? Shame on us. Well, that is what these fortifications, these strongholds in your mind will do to your thinking. This is what lofty thing will do. This is what Satan's lie will do. Don't exalt any thinking above the true knowledge of God, above who Christ is and where He is right now, sitting at the right hand of God. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. This refers to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, controlling ministry of the Holy Spirit by faith in our lives. This refers to the grace of God, that we are in Christ and are identified with Christ at the right hand of God. That's who you are. You're not who you are on earth. You are who you are at the right hand of God right now. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? Setting our mind where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Why are we spending so much time in 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5? Because it contains the heart of why we cannot keep seeking the things above, why we cannot set our minds on things above. Verse 5, we're destroying speculations, every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. The truth shall set you free. Your thinking about God is going to be what sets you free. Your thinking about Christ and who you are in Him, that will set you free. See, your thinking about God is at the heart of your thinking about everything else. His grace, His love, His plan for Jesus Christ and His plan for you. Calvinists have a distorted view thinking about God. Legalists have a corrupted view about God. These thoughts about God are raised up against the knowledge of God. God is love. God loves you. God has already provided everything you need to tear down these fortresses. God has created you a new being. You are not that old person. You are a new being, reconciled to God and worthy to be loved by Him, worthy to serve Him. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If there is one statement that announces the process of setting your mind on the things above, this is it. We are taking every thought, the Greek word. People, we live in a time, sex, politics, me, my pleasure, my good being, what I want. These dominate our thinking. These dominate. We've got to tear those thoughts down. Replace them with who we are in Christ, where every thought is about who we are in Christ. And when one of these thoughts come in, you beat it. How do you beat it? Wait a minute. I'm who I am in Christ. Let me think about Christ. Let me think about all the things I am in Christ. Let me think about the 34 things given to me at the point of salvation. See, that's who I am. So that's how we tear them down. It is so simple to set your mind on things above. Not easy, but simple. All you have to do is to change your thinking to Jesus Christ, to where He is, to loving as He loved. When we dealt with the sad series, I dealt with AM and FM. Radio, same radio, and has two frequencies, AM, FM. And all you have to do is go and turn it. You don't want AM, switch it to FM. Generally do beautiful music. FM, AM, FM. AM, Adamic mind. That's your Adamic mind. FM, mindset, faith. Your faith mindset. And so you see these things in your brain, just click it. Just turn it. I don't want that. I don't want to listen to that. I'm going to change it to FM. I don't like AM. I'm going to change it to FM. It's that simple. Not easy, but simple. It's as simple as changing the radio station on a radio. Galatians 5:16. But I say walk, activity and directed from within by the Spirit. And you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. You cannot think both. You can't have both AM and FM on at the same time. You click FM, frequency. AM's another frequency, not the same time. So you allow your flesh to do the thinking, or you allow the Holy Spirit to do your thinking. It's up to you. For these are in opposition to one another, AM, FM, Adamic thinking, Adamic mindset, and faith mindset. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This is why Peter mandates, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This week one of those speakers spoke on this Peter passage, and he did something that I pointed out, something I'm guilty of. I don't emphasize the grace that much. I'll quote, grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Grow in the grace and knowledge. Grace, not earned or deserved. 2 Corinthians 10:5, to the obedience of Christ. This means that all of our thoughts, our interpretations about ourselves, about our purpose, sins, failures, what's going on in our lives, change it to thinking about Christ. Okay, we're looking at the biblical teaching on thinking. Biblical teaching on thinking, one, point one was, you are what you think. Point two, during the course of the conflict, there are two antithetical attitudes. Things above, things below. Three, we study the conflict causes a great conflict inside of us. And we dealt with 2 Corinthians. Now, point four. For the mindset set on the things above, where Jesus Christ is sitting, 2 Corinthians 10, 3, 4, and 5. Point five, new one now, this is where we continue. Since the Holy Spirit is the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16, Isaiah 40:13, walking in the Holy Spirit will shape the mind to be set on Jesus Christ. Isaiah 40:13, look what it says. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or has his counselor has informed him? That's the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord, that we will instruct, that he will instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ, that is the Holy Spirit. Point six, to set your mind on things above is to think like Jesus Christ thinks. Thinks as Jesus Christ thinks. Philippians 2:2, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, mindset, maintaining the same thinking. People, think about a marriage. He's thinking this way, she's thinking that way. Think about a family. Parents thinking this way, child's thinking that way. Think about a local church. All kinds of different ways, different thinking. A nation, all kinds of different ways. No longer the Constitution, Declaration. Got chaos. Point seven, stability in life is a mental attitude, a thought process. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. 8, giving is a mental attitude of thought. 2 Corinthians 9:7, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's in your own soul. Point nine, keeping your mindset on Jesus Christ is essential to loving as Christ loved. Colossians 3:2, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. If you experience stress, anxiety, depression, it's because you choose to be sad, anxious, depressed. You can actually talk yourself back into the spirit-filled life, even when in flesh. You simply ask yourself back to faith in the Holy Spirit. Part of you talks, part of you listens, and you choose either to listen or not listen. You cannot consistently live differently than you consistently think. Either of things of the flesh or of this world things are things above, spiritual things taught in the Word of God. It's entirely up to you how you're going to think. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's so simple. But like all parts of your plan, it's simple, but not easy. Simple faith in Jesus Christ for Savior. So simple. But so difficult for so many people. Having our minds set on Jesus Christ. So simple. So difficult at various times in all of our lives. Father, I pray your Spirit take the things we've seen this morning. Use these things for the enrichment of our souls, our lives. Pray your Spirit can use these things in the glorification of Christ. Father, we praise you for making our life so simple. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.